And it tells us what faith is. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I read that, but that's not the one I want to really elaborate on this morning. Number two said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And then Hebrews 11 goes on to tell us who those elders was and what they did by faith to attain a good report. And the first verse 3, 4, and 5 and tells us about Abel, Enoch, and it tells us that God framed the worlds by faith. Then in 11, 6, before it starts naming the other elders and patriarchs and what they did by faith, it's right in the middle, we have this verse that says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I want to talk about God is. God is. It's impossible to please him without faith, because the first thing we got to do is believe that God is. We got to first believe that God exists, that there really is a God. And all of us are born again and saved this morning. So sometime in your life, you started believing that God really existed. You started believing that God really was God. You started believing that there were things that God could do that nobody else could do. Maybe you thought about the fact he was the only one that could keep you from going to hell. That's kind of how it was in the camp I was in. He was the only way not to go to hell. And the only way to go to heaven was to believe there is a God, that his son came named Jesus, and he died and paid for all our sins. But God is, who is God really? At this church, we talk a lot about who we are. We talk about our identity in Christ, because that's important. We need to know who we are. But do you know who God really is? Who is he in your life? We sung songs this morning that told us something about the attributes of God. But who is God in your life? So this morning we want to talk about God is. Who is he? He is. He is. Is is self-existent. Is not something you're trying to be or something that might be. Is mean, okay, this is it. This is. It just is. God is just God. He is. He wasn't made. He wasn't created. We don't know when he started. And there's no start. There's no end. It's just God. You know, and sometimes our pea brain and mind might try to figure out, okay, well, God, where did you come from? I know you made all of us, but how did you get here? Those are fruitless questions. God always has been, the Bible says, and he always will be. He is. God is. He exists. And so we don't have to wonder about where did he come from. That's beyond us. Matter of fact, there's a lot of things beyond us. There's a whole lot we can't figure out. And we might as well stop trying to figure it out. God is. And the Bible tells us who he is. It tells us who God is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's our creator. He created all mankind. There's nothing made that was not made by him, the Bible says. But God made everything. There was a time in my life when I didn't know God as a father, but now I know he is my father. And so since I know he's my father, I look to him to do what a father will do for a child. I see him as my father, and he sees me as his daughter. He sees you as his daughters and his sons. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. God is the one who, when he created man, knew man was going to fall, and he made a way of escape for every one of us. That's who he is. The Bible says God is good to all. He's full of compassion, and he's good to all. But do we really believe who he is? He's El Shaddai, the self-existing one. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Do you believe he's healing? Because he is healing. God is healing. He's a way out of no way. Hallelujah. When you don't have a way, God will make a way. He makes a highway in the desert and rivers of water. He made a way for us. He's the God of compassion that made a way for us even before we failed. Even for Adam's sin, God made a way because God is. He's a way out of no way. That's who he is. That's who he is. That's who he is. And in Hebrews 11, every one of these people here, the Hebrews talks about what they did by faith. They knew that God was a rewarder of those that diligently seek him because they believed and God did what they were believing for. Someone gave me a simple definition of faith. I heard them give a simple definition of faith. And faith is simply, they said, and I like that simple definition. Faith is just hearing God and then obeying. Hearing God and then obeying. Why is it that simple? Why is it I don't have to think about believing? Or if I hear God and then I do what he said, then in between there, I must believe. If I don't believe, I won't obey. If we don't obey God when he tells us to do something, then that means we're not really believing God. We're not really trusting God. But when God speaks, we obey. That says to me, you believe God. I believe God. Have I always obeyed when God spoke? No, because I didn't always believe. Sometimes God tells us something and it seems so magnificent. You know, it seems so beyond us. It seems so out of our ability because we're looking at our ability, not his, you know, most of the time. It seems so out of our ability, we don't act on it. And obedience is acting on something. We don't act on the word of God. We don't act on what God said. We don't act on what God said in his word. We don't act on the promises. Because it seems like it's way beyond what we believe God can do. We got to act on the word of God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word diligent means I don't give up. I don't quit. You don't give up. You don't quit. You diligently keep on seeking him. Seeking what you want God to do for you. Seeking for what you need God to do for you. Seeking what God has said. You keep seeking diligently because you know he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The man in the pool laid there for 38 years and he didn't give up. He wasn't seeking Jesus, but he sure was seeking to get in the pool. But every time he wanted to get in, somebody came in before and got in the pool. He was never able to get in there first. If he got in there first, while the water was troubled, the angel came in trouble the water, you would get healed. Somebody always got in before he did. Sometimes we're diligently seeking, but we're diligently seeking in the wrong place. Sometimes we're diligently seeking, but we're looking at the wrong thing. He was diligently seeking, but he was looking in the wrong place. I'm quite sure he had heard about Jesus. He should have been looking to Jesus. But you know what Jesus did? He came to him. Won't God do that? He'll just come to us. He might say, poor thing, they don't know no better. Let me go help them out. So he came and he sought out the man at the pool and asked him, do you want to be made whole? He began to tell him his whole story. Every time the water's trouble, I try to get in. Nobody don't help me. And I don't get in first. I'm going to paraphrase it. He said, somebody gets in before me. Jesus didn't even address the excuses. You know, a lot of times we got a whole bunch of excuses why we don't do what God told us to do. We got a whole lot of excuses why we don't believe God. Well, you know, God, I'm a woman. And you know, women ain't supposed to lead. And women ain't supposed to pastor. And besides that, Lord, I'm a black woman. You know, black folks don't get too very far. We got all kind of excuses. And the man at the pool had all kind of excuses. But Jesus didn't address the excuses because, you know what? None of those things matter. It doesn't matter what sex you are, male or female. Doesn't matter your race, whether you're black or white. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, fat or skinny, how much money you got. None of that matters. The thing is, do you believe God? Do you really believe that what you want, what you're seeking for, God can do it? Do you really, really, really believe it? So Jesus said to man, do you want to be made whole? And he told him what? To get up. Take up that bed and walk. Get up. And instantly the man was healed. Why? Because he stopped believing in the pool. He stopped believing in the trouble of the water. He stopped believing in the angels. He started believing in Jesus and what Jesus said. Oh, I heard him say this. So it must be true. If he say I can do this, if he tells me to do this, I must be able to do it because he must come give me the grace and the power I need to do it. So he was able to walk. God is. He's the one, the Bible says, that took on flesh. Because Jesus is God. He's God manifested in the flesh. He sent his only begotten son. Because what? God so loved the world so that we could have everlasting life. But everlasting life is more than that. Everybody lives forever, one place or the other. Physically, that is. But not everybody get to go to be with Jesus. Not everybody have eternal life. Some will have what? Eternal death. But in Christ, we have eternal life. John 17:3 says, what is eternal? Somebody, what is eternal life? It's knowing the Father and the Son. Knowing the Father and the Son. God is the one that gave us the way of salvation. God is the one that sent his Son. God is the one that loves us so much. He was willing to give up his very own son for us. And Jesus gave his life for us because he loved us. God is love. God is love. Unconditional love. God is forgiveness because he sent Jesus so we could be what? Forgiven. You are forgiven because of the love of God in his heart for you. And for me, he's the one that sent us the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Father. If your father was not the best father, he was not the father that you needed, that's okay because God is your Father. He's the best father that could ever be. The song says he's a good, good father. He's perfect in all his ways. There is not an imperfect way in God. His way is perfect because he's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. Who God is. Let's look at some of the things that David said God was in the Psalms. Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So God is what? He's our provider. He's our shepherd. And it said, I shall not want. I shall not want for any good thing. And Jesus told us when he was doing a sermon on the mount, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then Jesus said, fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom. He wants to meet our needs. He wants to provide for us. He does. He really does. But we got to believe that he's the reward of those that diligently seek him. We got to start believing he's the reward of those that diligently seek him. We got to start believing that. Psalms 54:4. David said this. Behold, God is my helper. Psalms 54:4. Behold, look, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. God is our helper. God is our helper. How do I know he's my helper? Because the very fact that he sent Jesus so that I could be born again, so you could be born again. The very fact that we could not help ourselves, but God sent the help we needed. He gave us the help we needed. And then Jesus died on the cross to pay for the sins that we could not pay for. And then he rose again and went back to the Father, but he sent the Holy Spirit. And one of the names of the Holy Spirit is he's our helper. Now we have the Holy Spirit who is our helper. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Our helper is with us every day. Our helper sleeps with us. Our helper goes to work with us. Our helper eats with us. Our helper is with us all the time. Sometimes we don't recognize or acknowledge our helper, but he's there. He's there. He's there all the time. He's our helper. He's our helper. Psalms 56:9. When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because what? God is for me. God is for me. Do you know God is for you? God is for me. He is for me. I'm so glad one day I realized God is for me. God is for me. Somebody else might not be for me, but God is for me. Not everybody is for you, but God is for you. He's there. God is for me. Even when I'm not even for myself, sometimes we tend to what? We tend to sabotage our own selves. But God is for us. In spite of what we do against ourselves, in spite of what other people do against us, God is for us. He is for us. He is for us. Psalm 60:12. Psalm 60:12. Through God, we will do valiantly, but it is he, God, who shall tread down our enemies. It's God who treads down our enemies. We don't have to worry about our enemies. The Bible tells us if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Do not try to fight nobody back to try to fight you. Don't do it. The Bible says, God is the one that does that. He fights our battle. He fights our battle. We don't have to fight our battle. He fights our battle. Psalm 62, 5. Psalm 62, 5. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Remember the man by the pool that I just talked about? His expectation was from the troubling of the water. Where's your expectation? Is it from God? Maybe your expectation is getting a raise on your job. Maybe your expectation is getting more Social Security. I'm on Social Security now, so, you know. I get retirement too. Retirement ain't gonna change. But every year the Social Security, they might give you an increase. But where is our expectation? Our expectation is from the Lord. God is our expectation. Not a new job, a new house, or a raise, or I'm single too. So my expectation, not in finding a husband. I ain't not looking for them really, but you know, that's not my expectation. But some single women, that's their expectation. Their expectation is finding a husband, somebody to pay the bills, you know. And some men's expectation is finding a wife. Somebody do the laundry, do the cooking, help pay the bills. Do the cooking. But where's your expectation? God is our expectation. And I sold my house and moved to a 2-bedroom duplex. And the man next door to me, he's like 10 years older than me. And look, his expectation was, I might have found me a wife. If I had to squash that expectation. I said, no, you have not found a wife. So God is our expectation. He's the one we should be looking to, not to each other. And that means we, as husband and wife, you're still supposed to do and what you're supposed to for each other and be kind to each other and help each other and do whatever a husband and wife, you know, our job is to do for them. And that's different in every home because everybody's expectations are different. But when you ultimately look to your full expectation, it should be from God. Don't ever think you can change your husband or your wife. That's an expectation you should never have. And people get married with having that expectation, but that's not. Your expectation should be from God. Okay, God, that's your man, that's your woman. You do with them whatever you want to do with them. They're in your hand. You make them whatever you want them to be. So he's our expectation. He's our expectation. He's our expectation. Not anything else, but just him. He's our expectation. So look to him and expect him to do what man cannot do and what man can never do. Can never do. Let's look at Psalm 62, 8. Psalm 62, 8. Trust in him at all times. Psalm 62, 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Have you ever needed a refuge? A refuge is a place of safety. A refuge is a place to run to when you need to run to it to be safe. Sometimes we need a refuge from all the turmoil, all the things happening in this world, everything, all the troubles coming our way, all the responsibilities, everything that's coming that we have to do. Sometimes we just need a refuge, a place to relax and refire and get our joy back up. Sometimes you just need a place of rest. So God is our refuge. That refuge place could be in your bedroom. It could be in your kitchen. It could be walking on a path somewhere. It could be going on a trip. It could be anything where you meet with God and allow him to be your refuge. Allow him to protect you, refresh you. He's our refuge. He's our refuge. He's our refuge. Let's look at Psalm 73, 26. Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Sometimes it feels like your flesh has failed because it ain't doing what you wanted to do. Sometimes it might feel like your heart has failed because of some heart issue, because somebody have hurt your heart, or something has fallen or happened to really cause your heart to fail. But David said, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. When it don't feel like I have enough to go on in my heart, David said, God is the strength of my heart. He's the strength of my heart. He's the strength of my heart. My heart can keep going and my heart will not fail completely because what? God is the strength of my heart. He keeps my heart. He keeps my heart. News might come that's disturbing. Grief might come that's great. But God is the strength of my heart. The doctor might tell you something that you don't want to hear. He might give you some bad news about your body. But God is the strength of my heart. My heart will not fail because of what man tell me, because I know God is my strength. He's the strength of my heart. And he keeps my heart from failing. Mark 12:27 tells us this. Mark 12:27. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So what? God is the God of the living. If he's your God, that means you're fully alive. You're not dead. He's the God of the living and not the dead. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, except such is common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Have I always been faithful? No. Have you always been faithful? No. But God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able? But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's not a sin to be tempted, but the sin is yielding to temptation. But this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, said that God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. That means that whatever you're tempted with, God has made a way of escape. And he's given you grace to endure and say no to the temptation and make it through. He is faithful. In every temptation, he is faithful to get you out of that and through it. Ah, hallelujah. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful, church. He's faithful. I don't care what you're going through. God is faithful. He will not allow that thing to overtake you. He will not allow that thing to get the best of you. He will not allow that thing to overcome you. You just have to put your trust in the one who is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. I know it feels tough. He is tough. I know it's hard maybe to get through something. I know sometimes it looks like you're never going to get to the end of it. I know sometimes it looks like you're never going to get out of it. I know sometimes it's hard to keep your joy in the midst of it. But God is faithful. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will not leave you there to work this thing out on your own. He will not leave you there to allow you to try to get out on your own. He is there and he is faithful. Woo, thank you, Jesus. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Yes, he is. He makes the way of escape. He makes the way of escape. He sends what we need. He gives us what we need. He brings us what we need. He brings it. It's up to us to receive it. He brings it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able. He's not only faithful, he's able. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. God is able. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you always have all sufficiency in all things. That means you have everything you need. Every situation, everything comes up, you have everything you need. And that you may have what? An abundance for every good work. Thank you, sweetie. If God have called you to a good work, if God have called you something, to something that call you to do something, he telling you he wants you to do something, know that God is able to make all grace. What's grace? That enabling power, that enabling ability to do what God told me to do. So he's able to make all grace abound in you so that you'll be able to do what he told you to do. He'll give you everything you need to do it with. And sometimes grace looks like this. It's grace is able me to go through and do what I need to do so I get to that abundance of grace. So I get to that more than enough. Sometimes it looks like we're not getting all the grace we need because what? God is trying to work on us. He's trying to get us to the place where we're able to receive the abundance of what he's bringing us. It's like, okay, first thing I didn't need to do is work on you and get you to the place where you can receive all this abundance of grace and all this stuff I'm bringing to you and not let it go to your head, not get in pride, and, you know, not let it ruin you, because God said, I love you more than I love what I want you to do. I care more about you than the ministry I'm going to give you. I care more about you than the blessing I want to give you. I want to make sure you're where I want you to be. I want to make sure you're okay, because I love you just that much. Because God is love. He's love. He loves you more than he loves what you. He loves you. Not what you can do for him. Not what you are doing for him. But God loves you. You're the love of his life. Amen. He's the love of your life. I'm going to close with Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So God is not unjust, and God does not forget. He's not unjust, and he does not forget. So whatever labor of love you're doing right now for him, whatever sacrifice that you might be making for the Lord, whatever sacrifice you might be making for ministry, whatever sacrifice you might be making for your home or your family, know this. God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And since God does not forget, God will reward those who what? Diligently seek him. All those efforts that you are doing in his name, everything you're doing because you love the Lord, everything you're doing because he loves you, everything you're doing because of the promises of God, because God said that to do that. Every command that God has given you and you're doing what he's told you to do, know that God has not forgotten. He does not forget. And he rewards those who diligently seek him. When we are doing the will of God, when we're doing the work of God, when we're doing what God has told us to do, then we are diligently seeking him. And he's there. He will reward. He will reward those who diligently seek him. Seek him out. Seek him out. Diligently. Know that he is. He is a rewarder. He's not just God. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He has not forgotten you. I don't know where what your situation is right now, where you are, but I want you to know God has not forgotten you. Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time. Maybe you've been seeking God for something for a long time. But God has not forgotten. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's not unjust. He has not forgotten. He knows. He knows and he cares. He's working on your behalf right now. Because that's who he is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And God cannot be less than who he is. He is who he is. He said what he said. He will do what he said he would do. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being God our Father. We thank you for being who you are to us. You are our shepherd. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are the one. You are the reason we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. So God, we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are in our hearts and our lives. Show us your face even the more, God. Show us your ways even the more, God. We want to know you even the more, even the more, even the more, God. So that we can walk in that way that you show us. So God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for all those that came to hear your word this morning. We give you glory, give you praise, God, for what you're doing right now. What your word is doing in our hearts. We say thank you, Lord. We say thank you, Lord. You are more than enough. God, you are more than enough. You're more than what we need. So we never lack. We rebuke lack because we are not those that lack. We have an abundance in you. We just have to look to you and believe that we have more than enough in you. So God, we say thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 At this time, are there any prayer requests? Any on Zoom? Okay. No prayer requests? Okay. We are dismissed then. Thank you all for coming. It's a blessing to have you. Hey, sweetie. Bye-bye. In a minute.